Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, nada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And we are back in
and oh man, last night, there's something like going on the internet, and then news flash comes everywhere. Just everywhere. And it happened live during the show, which makes it even better because, you know, you have to wait for the things to develop, the story to develop, and it keeps developing. The scary part about it is that even though it was breaking news, no one wanted to cover it. If they did, they covered it in strips and snaps. There was a big reason why. We'll get into why that happened. But you all heard the news. And some of you may care, some of you may not care. Because, to me, there's a bigger issue. It's not just because it happened in Newt Gingrich. You don't have to give a damn about Newt Gingrich. It's about news and view on Reese on the Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. I've got a bunch of interesting things to talk about today, and we'll get into each and every one of them. Again, it's Therapy Thursday. I had something very, very strange happen to me today. Then we'll talk about that at the 9 o'clock hour. So if you don't want to talk about the Newt Gingrich thing, you don't even want to hear about the Newt Gingrich thing, that's fine. I want you to stick around because, trust me, I have a very, very strong theory about this, and you probably all thought it, but you probably ignored it. But we all know what the story is. Newt Gingrich's second wife has now done a two-hour ABC interview that they've probably spliced out to just an hour or half an hour, whatever, where she is supposed to be bringing to light these explosive things about Newt Gingrich during their marriage or near the end of their marriage when he starts having an affair with his current wife, Calista. And the ex-wife's name is Marianne Gingrich. Still has his name. And she's often threatened that she could destroy his career with just one interview. Turns out she's given that interview a couple of years back in 2006 in Esquire magazine, and nobody gave a damn. That's right. She gave this interview before. Nobody saw it. Nobody read it. Nobody cared. It was Esquire, for crying out loud. But the she foo-foo elites were reading that. They didn't really care because Newt wasn't doing anything. So now they're trying to rehash it. They're trying to do it right before South Carolina, right before the Saturday primary, and try to stick a fork in him. Bah, he's done. And what is the bombshell revelation? What is this bombshell revelation that Newt Gingrich's second wife has to reveal? Well, listen for yourself.
I'm pregnant. We've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
She said, that is not a marriage. Newt said to her, according to her, that he wanted to have an open marriage. He's talking about the other woman. He's saying to the other woman, listen, look, I'm married to this broad, and are you all right with that? And according to Marianne, Calista was cool. Not a problem. We can still hang out, we'll fool around, still keep your wife. That's exactly what she's saying. And she's saying the nude is telling her, look, I kind of want to be with this woman too. Let's have an open marriage. You know, you just want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do. So can you deal with that? She said, no, I can't deal with it. I can't. Now, is this bomb of late one marriage? No. It's not. Because it's not what it's all about. I'll tell you what this is all about. It's not about destroying Newt Gingrich. Because, again, she's done it before. She went after him in 2006 in Esquire magazine, as I told you. Just look it up. Just look up the article. It was there. Marianne's got other plans. She's got other plans. The person she's going after is Calista. See, Calista's got that blonde hair. She's an older woman. She looks kind of fine. Now you can always hook me with an older white woman. That's it. I'm there. I'm done. Older white woman, sold. Especially if she looks good. I'm there. Winner. Winner, chicken dinner. Probably cook me a chicken dinner if I ask. No beef in either. Like some young broad would do. Hey, honey, you cook dinner today? I ain't got no time to cook dinner. This is not have life. But Calista is the target here. You see, if Newt's got a good chance of being the Republican nominee and then beating the pants off Barack Obama in a debate and winning the election, Marianne can't see the woman who scorned her to become the First Lady of the United States. It's that simple. She's not destroying Newt here. She's going after the ultimate target, the person she wants to get at the most. Come on. You all know the scenario. What does every scorned woman do when she's dissed by an ex? What does she do? Every time she's dissed by an ex with another woman, the first person she's got is but who scored. It's always women never attack the men. Yes, you call up the name scumbag. You go ahead and go with your witch. She'll use the B word. But go with your witch. I don't need you. She probably don't blah, 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 blah. And all she can do is remember, what's she look like? You see, say, well, huh? Does she do this for you? Does she do that? Because all she cares about is what the other woman's doing. She's mad. She's pissed off. But all she's ever talking about is what that other woman does. So that's the bane of her existence. Calista. She doesn't want Calista to be the First Lady. Because imagine that. The man who was stolen from her by Calista becoming the First Lady and is sitting in that White House high on the horse. She can't live with that. It would be the ultimate diss to Marianne. The ultimate diss. So you left me for this witch and you became the president and made her the First Lady? Oh, hell no. Somebody's got to pay. It's that simple. This isn't about Newt. I'll be stunned if I find out that this affects him in the Saturday primary in South Carolina. I'll be stunned. And I'd be stunned if anybody doesn't see this as a scorned woman going after the woman that he left her for. Now, Newt's got some other issues. Don't get me wrong. It turns out that he can't deal with illness too well. He left the first wife while she was battling cancer. Left this one months after she got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. All right? Now, I'm not laughing at the disease. But I'm laughing at Newt because his timing's a little off. It looks a little insensitive here. He looks like, you know, honey, I've got cancer. Well, how do I get out of this? Honey, I've got multiple sclerosis. All right. Okay, this isn't, honey, this isn't going to work. It seems a little insensitive. Maybe he doesn't deal with that kind of stress. That's just, I don't know. That's just another issue in and of itself. If people focus on that. But you can't see it any other way. For her to say, to drag Calista's name into this interview, for her to drag Calista into this can only mean one thing. She's directing it towards her. She says, Newt says, Calista doesn't care what it is that I do. So she's trying to paint Calista as this easygoing woman who lets her man cheat. It's an attack on another woman. Very easy for women to do, especially when they took your husband. It's very easy for you to do. Nothing worse than a woman scorned. Hell have no fury. But I think the hell that she always drops on anybody, you think it's bad, she drops it on the guy, she will drop it on that woman. That's her target, so he's going to be her target. You took my man. He could be a jerk, he could be a fool, he could be a moron, he could be a spiteful, evil son of a gun. But you took him, and the war is on. You are the enemy. Female to female. That's how it goes in every one of the relationships. Do you know any ex that gets along with the husband's current? Do you know one? They're probably few and far between. I know a couple who do. I'm sure there are a couple out there who do. But is it commonplace? Hell no. If the circumstances had to do with him cheating on you to be with the new girl, how could she ever come to terms with that? Or with the other woman? Could never happen. And it'll never happen. I can't wait to see this interview tonight because I know that I'm 100% right here. I'm 100% right. And when we see that interview today, we'll see it. I'm telling you, when we see that interview tonight, because we're all going to watch. I know I'll be watching. I don't have a choice. Comes on at 11:35. I'll be sitting right there in front of the TV. I'm going to miss the O'Reilly factor for this interview. And I never miss that at 11. I will be watching that tonight. So that's just my take. Let's play it again. Just listen to what she says. Just pay attention.
I said to him, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
That is not a marriage. Well, she's right about that. That isn't a marriage. Now, who are we to say that that's true, that Newt told her, hey, I need you to share a little bit. You know? I need you to share a slight bit. I'm getting an email here. I just got a flash email here. Some woman says she gets along with her husband's ex. Again, I said it's few and far between. I didn't say it didn't happen. I just got an email that just said that I get along with my husband's ex. I'm not disputing that it happens. I'm just saying that it's rare. I'm just saying that it's rare. The number is 347-308-8701. Email me at resonaradio@yahoo.com. And let me know. Let's pull in our intrepid crew. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? I got to get a female's perspective here because I know she's going to agree with me with exactly my entire synopsis. Mary, we'll go to you first. Am I off base here by saying that this is clearly designed to go after Calista and not go after Gingrich?
I think that it's designed to go after both of them. And I also think that she feels like, that Marianne feels like she wants to, or this is what she says, that she wants to make sure that people have an understanding of what really happened, because she felt like, you know, she was going to be talked about badly or people were going to look down upon her in silence, and she wanted to talk about what really happened. But for her to come out at the... And she did come out in Esquire. I've read a little bit about that. She did say some some things about Duke that may not have been so nice, but whether they were truthful or not, I don't know. But I think this is an attack against the both of them. I don't think it's just purely an attack against Calista. I think that, you know, he's the one that did it to her, not Calista. Calista didn't do
well,
it. I mean, yeah, she was the other woman, but she didn't. But she didn't she didn't put a gun to his head and make him sleep with her. He did it. So if it is strictly towards Calista, she's a moron because that's not the person she should be going after. And quite frankly, she shouldn't be going after anybody after all these years. Everything has been said and done. It's over and done with. I believe that he has two daughters with her,
yeah.
If I read correctly. So why would you bring this up and put your kids through this again?
Yeah, again, and it was a very tumultuous divorce. It was awful, but again, listen to what I'm saying. Now I'm gonna revert to something rather urban.
They haven't even spoke since the divorce. She says that she has not spoken to him since the divorce. How do you have two kids and you haven't even spoken since the divorce?
Well, look, if he left her for another woman, I'm sure she's so bitter. She says that Newt never called her and apologized. He's, you know, he'd asked for forgiveness from, you know, from God and all this other stuff. But I'm telling you, it's been 12 years since their divorce, and she hasn't gotten over it yet. Seeing Calista out on television is probably eating at her like crazy. If she's a bitter person, and trust me, there are bitter women out there, and she appears to be right into that alley.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I said yesterday that if she ain't over it yet and she's still sitting at home in onesie pajamas crying in her milk in her cereal bowl or her soup bowl, she needs to get out and do something because obviously there's a problem, and she is
exactly
where the problem lies.
Yeah, but what could this possibly do talking about whether or not this guy has the moral, you know, the moral high ground to be the president of the United States? And to go after him in this way, I'm telling you, she already did it. She already said it. She already gave the interview. They could have brought it up a long time ago, but they did not. This has nothing to do with anything but attacking that woman. I'm telling you, this is a girl-on-girl fight. This has nothing to do with you. It may have some slight things to do with you.
Apparently, Calista is going to have her own interview. So I'll be waiting to watch the both of their interviews.
Well, yeah, tonight's going to be, forget about it, ABC's ratings. We'll see how well it does. I know a lot of people are going to watch it, but I doubt it's going to be that much damage. JC, what do you think? Do you think my analysis is on point here?
To a degree, yes, I do. To a degree, yes, I do.
Okay. Where do you disagree?
I disagree. I think that the ex-wife, what's her name?
Marianne.
Not Calista, but Marianne. Okay. I think what she's done is I think she's playing her cards right.
Really?
In terms of destroying his career. She's choosing South Carolina right before the South Carolina primary, correct?
Right. In fact, she had the interview with Brian Ross of ABC on Friday. They were having
right.
some issues. In fact, background to this was they were having some issues about when exactly they were going to air it. They were thinking about airing it after the primary, but they chose after the story broke on Drudge Report, which we reported immediately when it posted on Drudge Report before anybody was supposed to know. Drudge Report had it, and then we reported it immediately when it happened last night. Then ABC was caught sort of put under the gun on when they were going. There was this big debate, an ethical debate, on when would be the right time to drop this bombshell. But you were saying, you said she played her cards right. There was really ABC who kind of plays, you know, the role. Because if they do it after the South Carolina primary, then it destroys his chances going down the road. ABC, I think, is doing nothing but a smear campaign, and they're holding water for Obama.
Oh, you would.
No, come on.
Now, I'm sure that when she gave the interview, I'm sure her every intention was to potentially get it on before the South Carolina primary. You got to remember, that's John Edwards' playing ground.
North Carolina.
And you got to remember, the state of Carolina, the South Carolina, remembers the whole John Edwards fiasco.
But that was
what
North
he did
Carolina.
To his wife, who had cancer. And you look at Newt, who likewise...
That was North Carolina. That wasn't South Carolina.
Yeah, that was North Carolina, just see.
Yeah,
from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Was it North Carolina?
Yeah, it was
North
Carolina.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina. But I know, I guess the same sentiment you're saying is that because you talk about the same region, but the bottom line is John Edwards cheated on his wife who had cancer. But if you got to read the book Game Change. You got to read the book Game Change because it doesn't paint Elizabeth Edwards in a very favorable light either. I mean, there were some things, speaking of which, because I'm not going to say that this happened with Marianne, but there was this one scene. I read that book, Game Change. It was my favorite book 2 years ago. I read that book, and there was one scene where they're at the airport, and they're on the tarmac going up to a plane, and they're in the middle of an argument, and Elizabeth Edwards rips open her shirt because she had a mastectomy. She rips over her shirt talking about how she lost both of her breasts. They're in an argument, and she's talking about, I think at that time she had heard that the affair was going on, and she screamed at him about how she lost both of her breasts and what she was going through, and how she used to call him a dumb hillbilly, and he was very stupid. You know, a lot of that was revealed in the book, that she wasn't a very likable person.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying
it still comes at a time where John Edwards, who happens to be really, really hot in the news right now for his situation with his health. And I'm sure that the women of that area, of that general area, they all pretty much, I don't want to say think the same way, but...
I hear you. It's the South. You know,
yeah,
a lot
the
of
South.
People. Right.
And for
South.
Him, and for him to... want an open marriage and not suspect any drawback from it, especially right before the primary. There's no way. I mean, the South is gonna flip. The South is gonna flip on him just as fast as what's the chick's name? Mariel flipped over on Edwards.
Yeah, well, you know what? The truth is, the bottom line on this is that I don't care what anybody says, ABC is going out for a hit job. They already had planned a hit job on Romney. When they got this, they jumped on it. And they're jumping on Gingrich because they know that Gingrich is one of the strongest opponents against Obama if he gets in debate. Everybody knows it. ABC News knows it. NBC News knows it. Every one of these stations, every one of these networks that hold water for Barack Obama, with the exception of Fox News and Fox Business, this is exactly the tactics that they do. They've done it before. They'll do it again. They don't like conservatives. And if you're going to tell me that this woman, who already did an interview back in 2006 in Esquire magazine, didn't reveal that. I mean, if there's anything that should have been revealed in an Esquire magazine, was that Newt Gingrich was asking for an open marriage. Why wasn't that in the Esquire expose? Why wasn't it in there?
Yeah.
I mean, if this happened...
Well, it's these political times. Listen, it's the political times. It's all about destroy the candidate, and like I said,
yeah,
they're knocking them off one at a time.
Well,
the point
that she's trying to make. I mean, I don't know what her objective is, but we all have our own opinions on that. The point that I understand that she's trying to make is just the fact that, how can all these, you know, these Christian communities and all these voters vote for him or want him, you know, think that he is capable of being the president when he goes around and talks to women's groups and talks about, you know, the constitution of marriage and so forth
right.
He can't even follow that himself. And she goes on to talk about how with his first wife, which was actually his geometry teacher, that he started having an affair with when he was 16, in that relationship at some point she had to take over the finances because he just couldn't handle it. It was too much for him. So, you know, things that he talks about now that he, you know, especially with the financial state that this country is in, I think that those are the things that she's attacking him on and hoping that, you know, that's what people are going to think, that her premise is of why she's coming out with this interview, although we all think that it's for some other reason.
Well, it's clearly for another reason. Why are we talking about what it is that he could or couldn't do 20 years ago? I mean, why would that even be relevant? I mean, 10 years ago, I probably wasn't politically savvy as I am today. I mean, I can honestly say 20 years ago, I probably didn't have a beat on politics as well as I do today. I'm probably more politically savvy than most people are in 20 years, and I think I've gained that knowledge in 2.5-3 years. I contain information better than I ever did 20 years ago. I know more things about our political system than I ever did. I know more things about the Constitution than I ever did 5 years ago.
You would have ended up on CNN if you hadn't.
Exactly. I would have never made it on CNN or Fox Business as a political analyst if I hadn't. So, you know, what I didn't know, anybody could come up to me and say, oh, you know, when Reese was 20, he was a complete moron when it came to politics. He didn't know what he was talking about. You're damn right. I was 20. I probably didn't care. I'm not partying and having a good time.
Well,
you know,
if I could interrupt for one second.
Sure.
I got an instant message for you. I didn't get an email.
Oh, okay.
It says, and this comes from Robin. And you know what Robin Knight is.
Uh-huh.
Mom gets along with her dad's ex, and she gets along with her husband's ex as well.
Ooh, lucky you.
I get the message, though.
Yeah, don't worry. I got the same message.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. I got another email. This one says, everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame, and now she gets it. Not to mention, her husband asked for an open marriage previously. Well, you're going to have to re-email this one. If I'm reading this correct, you're saying that not to mention her husband asked for an open marriage previously. Are you saying before this particular incident, but the person who sent the email, Claude, you said that are you saying that he won previously before she's accounting this one? If you could send me that email, because I didn't read that he had asked for it twice. It just sounds like he asked for it. It sounds like he just asked for it that one time, according to her.
Do we think that, you know, I'm curious now, just because of all this open marriage talk, I wonder if him and Calista have an open marriage.
Yeah, again, that's what I'm talking about, Mary. See, I knew I was waiting for somebody to bring that up, because I was setting it up for that. That is exactly what I'm saying about the smear campaign and why I think it's geared towards Calista. And I said it before. What do you think women are going to think when they hear that Newt Gingrich asked his current wife for an open marriage and then goes on to say, Calista doesn't care what I do? It gives the impression that during their current marriage, that Calista is allowing him to sleep around. You see what I'm saying? It sets a template. It sets up a narrative. That's what people
do. We want a freak in the White House.
Right.
If that is the case, what you do in your personal life, personal life is your business. It's not, as long as you're running this country in a proper fashion, if you live a life of polyamory or whatever, that's your business.
No. Not when you're president.
You're right, JC. There's a moral high ground when you are president of the United States. Because, see, this is what I'm talking about. When it came to the Clinton campaign, there were so many people who supported Clinton and held water for him. Everyone made the big argument that, so what, Monica Lewinsky did whatever in the Oval Office. What's the big deal?
Okay, but that was a different story. That wasn't an agreement. That was not an agreement that he had with his wife that, hey, I may have my intern come on in and do a little work for me.
But wait a minute. Hold on. More people during that, JC, back me up here, because you know they did. More people will tell you, so what, Monica Lewinsky, you know, sexually pleased of Bill Clinton in the Oval Office. What's the big deal? Everyone says that. That was the question.
What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? And the bottom line is that, okay. Right. And if it wasn't a big deal, again, it was about being in the Oval Office. Now, all of a sudden, as you say, Mary, it's a moral issue for Newt Gingrich. You don't want somebody like that, or you don't think that it's okay. I mean, you think it's, you know, what's the big deal? It happened in the past. what they got to do with you running the country. The problem is that you are, you know, supposed to be the moral standard while you're in the White House. If you're in the White House and you're in that public office, you have to set a precedent for the rest of the country. And your behavior in the White House, as illicit as it was, and that was illicit. We're talking about a president, when it came out, he had the girl on a desk and he was doing ungodly things with a cigar in that woman's private parts and smoking them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ungodly. Okay? When it came out. Now,
in my Oval Office.
In my Oval Office, and everybody says, what's the big deal? And let's forget about the fact that this was a 20-year-old young lady. Like, people keep forgetting about that. This guy was twice her age and was doing
okay,
that.
But if,
now,
but if you have an agreement, if you have an agreement with your wife and your wife want to have an open marriage, then as long as you're open about that and you're not trying to say that, you know, you're against that, and you're not out preaching something else but practicing, you know, if you're not out preaching one thing and practicing another, then to me that's fine. But because what you do in your personal life is what you do in your personal life. If you want to have multiple sex partners and that's okay with your other half, whether it be man, whether you're the husband and she's the wife or vice versa, as long as you're not preaching something else, And looking down on other people that may be doing that, then
again,
what is the problem?
We don't know whether, Mary, we don't know whether or not what Mary Ann is saying is true. We have no idea. This is another classic case.
No, I'm not saying I do.
Okay, this is another classic case where somebody makes an allegation and it's automatically believed to be true. And I keep going back to the same thing. Who are we to say that what she's saying is honest? Who are we to say what she's saying isn't malicious, you know, and it's disingenuous? I don't believe it. I'm telling you off the bat, I don't believe it. I think that this is a personal attack on Calista. But you know what? That's just me. Let's take a break. Give us at least about 4 or 5 minutes. Take a break. We'll talk about some other aspects of this because, again, is it important? If Newt Gingrich, if it's true, is it relevant? That's the bigger question. Is what happened relevant? And we'll figure that out when we get back. The number is 347-308-8701. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare. ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
What?
I'm not going to do what?
Conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. The number's 347-308-8701. Yeah, it's always the affairs. Whenever it's about cheating and leaving and breaking up, whatever it is, everybody's got an opinion. As I said, it's like you can't make politics, for that matter. You can't make politics interesting until there's scandal. That's the only time they care. I'm not going to lie. I know the Monica Lewinsky scandal backwards and forwards. I know the John Edwards scandal backwards and forwards. Every time there's a political scandal, I know this backwards and forwards. Maybe it's just me, but, you know, I think it's just one of those things that we all get kind of caught up in. To give you an example, if you've ever or never heard the term, Schadenfreude. And Schadenfreude is... it's a German study by a doctor who found through a brain scan that a certain chemical is released in our brain, like dopamine, is released in our brain when we watch the pretty or the successful fail, when they fall from grace, that we get this, you know, this feeling in our brain that brings us. You know, and I'll admit, I go through a certain sense of Schadenfreude whenever, you know, bad news about the Kardashians come up. I do. I know everybody loves them, but that's why I hate them. The reason why I hate the Yankees, because everybody loves them. If I'm surrounded by people who love something, that will give me enough reason to hate them. That's just the way that my brain operates. It's just, and if you all hate have a reason. Constantly catching a person, I will completely be drawn to that person. It's the reason why I love Tebow. Because people can't stop crapping on him. The more they crap on him, the more it makes me like him. The more it makes me support him. So if you all start hating Kardashians, I'll start loving them more. Do you know that if tomorrow the Kardashians are the most hated people in the world, I will find a way to love them, especially the giant one. 9 feet of her. I will come to her rescue. Better than her own husband. But we're talking about Marianne Gingrich. 12 years since her marriage to Newt Gingrich. Has now got an ABC Nightline interview airing tonight at 11:35 Eastern Standard Time. And she'll be talking about Newt Gingrich. And Brian Ross, who's the investigative reporter, and he does these Brian Ross investigates things. You know, and usually it's supposed to be about, you know, real serious issues. You know, he's investigating fraud, you know, crime. No. He's investigating something that happened 12 years ago in a silly little situation between he and his girlfriend. Over his ex-wife and him wanting to quit. He wanted to leave his ex-wife or have an open affair, according to what it is that she's saying. Let's play
Mary. I said to him, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
Let's go to the phones now. Number 347-308-8701. Let's go to Sullivan. Sullivan, you're a Reese on the radio. What's your take? Do you agree with what I'm saying, that Marianne is really attacking Calista, and it's not so much about Newt? It's about she wants to attack the woman who took her husband. And this is about smearing her.
The attack, she could care less about who she's attacking. She's attacking both of them. And as I said, she wants her 15 minutes of fame. She doesn't want to be left behind in the brambles of her divorce. And that's basically it.
Left behind in 12 years.
I know, but she doesn't want. She wants to be relevant.
What? Relevant to what? Relevant to what? Is it
to Newt.
15 minutes?
She wants to still be relevant in the public eye in regard to Newt. Now, I called with a three-part thing to the president's cheating, shenanigans going on in the White House. Because you know what? Way before we had internet, way before we had paparazzi, before we had freaking, you know, pedestrian mail, there were shenanigans going on in the White House. And who knows what happened on those boys' nights, party nights in the Oval Office. There were many presidents. There were many presidents who fooled around.
Well, look, there were plenty of... Look, we had Watergate. We had Chappaquiddick. You know, there were plenty of things that happened on those levels. But, I mean, if you're saying that because we didn't have the information, then now that we do have, you know, a 24-hour news cycle, if you're suggesting that now because of the 24-hour... It's almost like you said... It almost sounds like you're blaming the media for the scandal, as if to say if we didn't have media, no one would ever know and nobody would care.
That's pretty much it. By the time the mail got on the Pony Express, by the time the other person got it, it would be irrelevant. And they'd say, oh, well, this happened 35 days ago, and how am I going to bring it up now? And what proof do you have now?
They'd let it be.
They'd sweep it under the rug or bury it in the ground.
But, well,
Thomas
first of
Jefferson,
all, think about... Let's go to Chappaquiddick.
One more statement before we go to Chappaquiddick, because I'm a little younger than that. Anyhow, a marriage or an open marriage can be anybody's idea. Open marriages consist of other men, of the relationship, both parties in the relationship going out and having affairs, or they can bring them in. But that's between the two married people. So you can't just say an open marriage is only based upon the other person going out and sleeping with somebody else. An open marriage can be swinging in your house, like the key parties that existed in the 60s and 70s.
Okay. I'm not disputing that. But I'm trying
swapping.
To figure out. Yeah, okay. I don't want to go in that direction. But,
well, it's,
again,
you know.
I here's what I'm saying. Focusing on what this is about, are you saying, and I just want to hear a consistent answer, okay?
Jesus.
All I'm asking you is this. Are you suggesting that if Newt Gingrich was asking his wife for an open relationship, that it should be a non-issue while he's running for president today? Do you think this story is a non-issue? Do you think that it's salacious and it's unwarranted? Do you think it's mean-spirited? What is your feeling about Marianne coming forward with this interview and revealing this? What is your take?
I personally think that what goes on in the bedroom between any two people, whether it's the president or not, is what goes on, as long as both people or people involved are cooperating adults. Now, if you're going to go and pull your pants down in a public toilet and have some little boy suck you off, excuse me, that's not presidential material. But what goes on behind closed doors, behind consenting adults, who the heck cares? But this is what I'm saying is, who is not to say what has not gone on previously in the White House?
Not
it was called the Roaring Twenties for a reason. Do you think
we're freaking? Do me a favor, Sullivan. I totally get where it is you're coming from. You're saying that it's not a big deal that it should be washed over. Is that pretty much to sum up what you're saying?
If they are consenting adults, who the heck cares?
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. If it's consenting adults, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
That's the way to. Okay, sorry. Okay, so it shouldn't affect Newt Gingrich in any way.
No.
Okay, all right, thank you. That's all I wanted to hear, and whether or not it was, I appreciate your call. The number is 347-308-8701. Okay, so I guess, okay, coming from a woman's perspective, it's not a big deal. I think she was a little bit off track talking about the 20s. What press? Do we know Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, do we know about any affairs going on there? What? And even suggesting that to me sounds bizarre. Okay, she's right. It may have happened. But again, exactly what I'm talking about. But I'll give it this. At least for Sullivan's sake, the caller's sake, at least for that sake, they're saying that, look, they're being consistent. It wasn't a big deal when Clinton did it. It shouldn't be a big deal when Gingrich did it. So okay, I'm willing to at least give it that. Mary, what is your take on what Sullivan said? Do you think it's not a big deal, or do you think that she's completely out of whack?
I mean, she made valid points. She's right. Before there was internet, and before we had 24-hour access to every single person's life that uses any type of technology, things were going on. I'm sure that people were having affairs all over the place. We just about it.
JC just brought up, he's saying, the Marilyn Monroe Kennedy sandwich. I don't even know what that even means. But if you're referring to Robert and John Kennedy, that's never, ever been officially proven. Other than, you know, maybe Marilyn Monroe, Jack Kennedy, maybe. But I don't know about any Marilyn Monroe Kennedy sandwich. I don't know anything about that. Or maybe I'm choosing not to remember. But okay, I mean, I'm just looking at it from the perspective.
Why do you think it's such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal if people want to live their lives like swingers, or they want to have these sexual excursions? As long as it's between consenting adults, what is the big deal? Regardless of whether you're the president or the janitor, what is the big deal?
Well, no one wants the president to be in the people's house having that kind of relationship with his wife in the house. I mean, it sets a precedent. It says, in other words, it's saying that he in some way is permitting the rest of the world. Look at what everyone says about the damage that Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton did to what people viewed as sex. Wait, hold on. When Bill Clinton suggested that oral sex was not sex, that became a zeitgeist within our young people. There were young girls who were out there performing that act because it was being deemed in the public eye as not having sex, even though it clearly is. It's a sexual act. But because the President of the United States had sort of set the temper that it wasn't, that people were sort of saying, well, hey, you know, he's a lawyer. He's a president. He's supposed to be the moral high ground. So maybe it isn't sex. And that conversation began. It became a national conversation, if not an international conversation. Is oral sex considered sex?
Define
sex. I mean, it became a serious issue in the 90s during that time. So again, if there's a president of the United States that is having an active open marriage with the first lady, what is that saying to others? Is he saying that, okay, this kind of behavior is somewhat permissible? Some people use the president's stance on things as a template on how it is that we should all behave. That's what I'm saying.
Some people you, because obviously that's how you feel. Whether or not, whether or not it's publicized that the president is doing these things or not, it's going to happen. Whether or not we know about it or we don't know about it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. This really, to me, boils down to the constitute of marriage according to religious groups. I mean, listen, we have same-sex couples that are getting married, same-sex couples that are adopting children, same-sex couples that are hiring surrogate mothers, same-sex couples that are getting, you know, one woman's egg is taken out and fertilized, and then the partner actually kind of becomes the surrogate and has the baby, but it's really the partner's egg. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on in this world. People are having open relationships, where they have the young lady we talked about before has two boyfriends, and, you know, then they go out and they have partners. So what moral high ground are we talking about? Who is following this? Do you think that it matters or not in this country today, whether it's right or wrong? That's not what I'm asking. Does it really matter in this country today, in the state of this country today, whether the president is doing it or not? Because other people are doing it, and that doesn't matter. Who is taking what the president does in his personal life as a template of what they should be doing in their personal life? I sure as heck am not.
He's the leader of our country.
What he or she does in their personal life is their business. As long as they are running this country to where we are not in a financial rut and we're not going to lose everything that this country has worked so hard to become, And that I'm free and everyone else is free and we still have all of our rights, what difference does it make?
Sex is a big deal.
Yeah,
go, JC.
Do you have a good cookie recipe?
No, because I don't do those things. I'm not
Betty Crocker, okay? Since when did women become that desensitive in this country to where things like that don't matter?
Right.
No,
this is the reason why they're called the first.
It's not that. It's just the way of the world today. Listen, I'll be 40 soon. So I'll put my age out there. You know, I will be almost middle-aged in a few years. So this is the way the world is. It is. I'm being realistic. That's what I'm trying to be, is realistic.
Listen, Mary, this is what I'm talking about. When people start to say that that is the way the world is, when we are starting to lose moral ground and we start committing everything. See, that's what it is that people, and I'm sorry, I hate to use this term, but people like you who start to accept the devalue of our society today, and that's what it is. It's a diminishing culture. We're starting to permit certain behavior and excuse it. We're excusing certain behavior. There are certain people that we want to be the moral majority. That's the reason why they're called the first family. They're the first family because, in essence, they do lead our culture, our way of life. They are a symbol of how we live in this country. They are representatives of us. That's the reason why we put them in such hierarchy.
That one family cannot be responsible for the way that we live our personal lives behind closed doors. I don't believe that for a moment. I would never support that. We as a country, if you want to talk about morals, because I know plenty of people that don't have any morals, and just because I say, oh, well, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, it's been happening. It's been going on, just like killings and molestation and sexual abuse and all kinds of crimes have been going on for hundreds and thousands of years.
It has not
been put in the forefront of the public's eyes like it is in the technological world that we live in today. That is my point. It's been going on. It's not like this is something new. This isn't something new. I mean, men were going to brothels. You know, they had brothels before where, you know, you would go sit in the saloon and you had a brothel upstairs.
Mary, you're trying to compare average people. You're comparing average people
I'm not comparing average people. I'm not comparing average people at all. These were government officials that were doing it. These were police enforcement.
It doesn't make it right. I know. Let's take a call. The number is 347-308-8701. Trish, you're on the Reese on the radio.
Hi guys. I'm good. The problem here is nobody's looking at the big picture. You do not look at your president as your moral leader. Your president is there to run the country. Do I agree with what he's done? No. But if I want morality, I'm going to go to church. He's there to run the military. I don't agree with what he's done personally, but I'm not looking at a president for my moral. I should have gotten those at home, and if I need more, I need to go to church. I don't need to look at him for that. I need him to run my military and keep me safe.
And even in church, and even in some churches, you can't go there for morality either, because I know plenty of churches that sure as heck are not doing what they preach.
I mean, at what point in time, what does running our country have to do with his sex life? And they, you know, and that comment about, well, you're comparing average citizens. Wait a minute. They're not better than us. Because you are an elected official, you are not better than me. I may be an average citizen, but you put your pants on the same way I do, buddy.
You see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. To both of you, this is exactly what I'm talking about. For women, see, this is what I find odd, guys. You know, we're going to take a break, and we got to talk about Paula Deen in the next hour, but this is what I find incredibly scary, is that the last people that I expected to hear that were passive about this would be women. Even though I'm supporting Newt Gingrich on this, I'm not believing what it is that she said was true. I'm not believing anything of what Marianne says. I'm taking it with a grain of salt. Even Brian Ross, who did this report, says himself that you have to take it with a grain of salt because she's somewhat bitter about the divorce. That being said, I'm still stunned that women today, and I think that the Clinton-Monica Lewinsky scandal has changed the view of the American people when it comes to sex and the office of President of the United States. That's just me. But, you know, again, I can be wrong. But again, I'm stunned. I thank you for your opinions. Let's take a break. Do you guys want to continue talking about this for a little bit the next hour before we get to Paula Deen?
Yes, we do.
You want to? Okay, fine. We'll hold on. We come back right here on Reese on the Radio. I'm just stunned. I'm shocked. I'm just completely shocked. I never ever thought that I would get it from women. Now.
wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
I never once said na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese on the radio, we're back. Thank you all for watching the radio. Glad to be here. Number here is 347-308-8701. Send your email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Emails are coming in. Facebook is blowing up. It's insanity. I don't even know what. I'm not saying that Newt Gingrich is guilty of infringement. I would never, ever say to anyone. I don't know what happened or what didn't happen, whether or not what Marianne is saying is true. I am actually just stunned because I'm trying to figure out how people feel about what happened or what she's claiming that happened. And I guess results of the South Carolina primary should be a non-deal breaker, so to speak. It shouldn't be a deal breaker for the primary voters, because as Trish just said, and we'll bring her back in along with Mary, why are you bugging? We'll bring Trish back in, and they're saying that, you know, look, the president is just a man. He's just like everybody else. As Trish so eloquently put it, he's not better than me. He puts on his pants one leg at a time, just like I do. So, Trish, that being said, I happen to agree with you. Yes, he's just a man, so he's going to have failings. You know, he's not infallible. I get all of that. But you don't think that there's a level of symbolism here in the role of President of the United States?
Well, yes, there used to be, but there's not anymore in today's culture. And in all the conversation everybody's had about what he's done or what Clinton's done, I noticed that nobody stops to think about, well, what about the chick that was sleeping with him while he was married? You know, she's not being held accountable at all. It's all him. At some point in time, you have to look at it and say he didn't do it alone. And if his wife knew what was going on this whole time, she's coming out with it now. Why? Just to ruin his chances?
Well, see, I said, Trish, if you heard me earlier, I said, then I don't believe that this is so much an attack on Newt Gingrich as much as it is an attack on Calista, his current wife, to suggest that Newt Gingrich told her, Calista doesn't care what it is that I do. You need to share me. Calista doesn't care what it is that I do. You need to share me. That keeps ringing in my head about what she said to Brian Ross. It's for her to say, Calista doesn't care what it is that I do, and you need to share me. Sounds as if she's saying that Newt's current relationship with Calista, she's okay with him sleeping around. It sets a narrative. And I think that this is out to smear Calista, because I think in Marianne's view, and I'm speculating here, in Marianne's view, that this woman needs to be subjected to a higher level of scrutiny that she's not being subjected to. There's been no reports of Calista in any foul way, and this particular damning interview paints a very, very odd picture of another woman. In hearing her statements, in Marianne's statements, the ex-wife, in her statements, for her to say that Newt said that Calista doesn't care what it is that I do, and saying that Newt wanted an open mat, that would suggest that he was with Calista because she allowed him to have one. So there is some scrutiny on the behalf of Calista, I believe that's being made in this interview. Now, would you agree with that?
Yes, but it sounds to me more like a bitter ex-wife. You know, because we don't know that any of this is true. We don't know that he did this. We don't know that he said it. we have what an ex-wife has said, and being divorced twice, I will tell you that we will say some stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and
course.
We will. It's just the anger and the bitterness, and you get it out the best way you can. And sometimes it's not the right way. And you don't care about the fact that you may be smearing another person's reputation or, you know, because we don't know any of this is true. She's literally trying
Trish,
to ruin this man's political career without...
Trish, let me read an email that's directed towards you. It says, thank you, new caller. Face it, you put too much into our president. He runs our country, filled with diverse culture and a diversity of people. So you're saying, in that email, I guess they're saying that, you know, by putting too much, I want to use the word pressure, but putting the president at a higher standard is something that we shouldn't do. That it's unfair to do that to our president, that we should accept him for who he is, even if he's a philandering, sexist who likes to sleep around.
Well,
are you agreeing with that?
Yes, if you can run the country, run the military, and keep our budget where it needs to be, I don't care if you sleep with Godzilla. If you can put Americans to work and balance this budget out at this point, I really don't care who you sleep with. I don't want the government coming into my home and telling me who I can sleep with. So I'm not going into theirs and telling them who they can. That's
Mary, why are you bugging? I know you're sitting out idly by. Anything you want to chime in on this before we move on?
I want to know why it is such an amazing thing to the two of you men, JC and you, Reese, that women actually have this point of view. I mean, first of all, is it not... Do you think that women do not partly have this point of view in these times today that we all express this? Like, so what? It's no big deal that we express this because we have been somewhat forced by men to think this way because we all know that most men want Victoria's Secrets by day and Fredericks of Hollywood by night. So we're trying to do the best we can to keep our man and satisfy our man. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to do some things that you may not have been willing to do before. So I don't understand why it is such a surprise to the two of you that there are women in this country that don't look at this like, oh my God, this is such a big deal.
All right, you know what? It says something very, very different. If what it is that the two of you are saying, and this is, of course, very, very unscientific. To be honest with you, I'd love to hear from more women. I've heard from three so far. I would love to hear from more women. Men, I know, don't care. I know they don't care what it is that their president did. It was so evident with the Clinton campaign. But I really thought that I would get a different perspective. But if I'm hearing what I'm hearing from the three of you so far, I think that this should have absolute bearing on the primary in South Carolina. From what it is that you women are telling me, that it will have no bearing. It's either they'll choose Newt Gingrich because they think he's right, or they won't choose him because they think he's wrong. I think that from what you're saying, nobody's going to care at the end of the day.
I personally don't care what he does in his personal life as long as he's not harming anybody and doing anything against anybody's will. And I don't think that it's fair that you compare what's going on with Newt Gingrich to what happened with Bill Clinton. With what happened with Bill Clinton, he was having a sexual affair with an intern, which already breaks so many HR laws, first of all, that are set out there. And his wife was not aware that was going on. She had no idea. So you
Wait
can't.
A second.
These two stories are not comparable.
You'd be surprised.
They are.
I think both of these stories are comparable. I think they are for several reasons. Because, you know, this happened while Newt was, you know, in Congress. He was the Speaker of the House. That she's suggesting that this was happening while he was a member of Congress. And you know, they're saying that, you know, while he was damning Bill Clinton or the Lewinsky situation, that he helped why. And that, you know, when he had, you know, he and as the Speaker of the House asked Congress to impeach William Jefferson Clinton, that, you know, he now has egg on his face saying, you know, how dare you scrutinize Bill Clinton when you were doing the same thing? And I think that that's what a lot of this has bearing on. Brian Ross even said it today, a video that I saw of him on The View, was that a lot of this and why it's so damning to Newt Gingrich is because it happened at a time when Bill Clinton was getting a lot of scrutiny for his affair with Monica Lewinsky. That's why it's only being compared to it. That's the reason why I'm comparing it.
Okay, and this and that goes back to what I said earlier. As long as you're not out here trying to pressure other people to live a certain way that you're not willing to live, or the, and you live your life a different way, and you're not damning other people for doing certain things that you say you're not doing but you really are doing, it shouldn't matter. But you cannot, I agree, you cannot be out there saying things like, oh, well, you should, you know, look down on people that are having affairs or that are getting into things that you normally get into, but then you say that you don't because you're holding a seat in Congress or because you're holding a seat in our government. That is wrong.
But
if you're going to be who you are, I would rather you be who you are and be upfront with that.
Okay, so again, in no way should Newt be holding them to a moral high ground because at the time he was doing what he was doing behind his wife's back.
Most definitely. And what I was talking about is not comparing situations. There is a difference in what – I mean, I was talking about about what Newt Gingrich was doing versus what Bill Clinton did. So, I mean, they were one and the same but two different.
Hmm.
No,
okay.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. JC, what do you want to say?
Oddly enough. I mean, I'm sitting back and I'm listening to Trish. I listened to the other caller we had, and I'm listening to Mary here.
Mary.
I'm being bombarded with an instant message. the point I'm going to try to drive home now is like, it's like you take away the importance of the job of the presidency of the United States, and what it has meant throughout this country from the beginning of time. So you mean to tell me that we're now in the times where if a little kid say, you go up to a little kid, say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And little girl says, well, I want to be president of the United States. Well, go on right ahead, you can do that. And the next little kid says, well, I want to be a dancer, a stripper, on a pole, nightly. Are you going to encourage that kid to do the same, to be what it is that you want to be when you get older? Am I making sense?
Yeah, in a roundabout way, I get what you're saying, is that the president is again, you're saying exactly as I'm saying, that the presidency is a moral high standard of living in this country. He is the president of the United States. They call his family the first family. She's considered the first lady. There is something that they do, that their position, that the position that they hold, it's something of, it's the template that is supposed to, it's an expression of who we are as a people. And how they behave is an expression of who we are as a people.
If they're having a ball right now picking Michelle Obama apart, could you imagine Calista as the first lady?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
but you guys saying it's okay. You just said it's okay. Don't do backpedal now.
No, but this moral high ground is a crock of crap, if you ask me, because whether we know about it or we don't know about it, it's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. whether it's all over the news, whether, you know, scandals happen, it's going to happen. So that
so
is what, it's a crop of crap.
So we should just accept it, is what you're saying. You're saying that the world has come so far, it's become such commonplace that we should accept it. There should be no more rules, no more etiquette, no more traditionalism, that progression, that as a progressive people, we have to accept that these things happen and move on. We are not supposed to scrutinize people who behave in this way, even in the highest echelons of government.
United Solomon Gomorrah of the United States.
I mean, come on.
These things are not going to make or break whether I vote or not vote for a particular person. That's what I'll say. And whether he has an affair or not, or wants an open marriage, or wants to sleep with, you know, with five people, and his wife is cool with that, or they're swinging and everybody's cool with that. If I think that he has the ability to run this country.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It's Grease on the Radio. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch, I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking. And when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the Radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio live. The number is 347-308-8701. And I thank all of you for your emails and your text messages and what else am I getting here? I'm getting here some Facebook comments, and I'm getting some IMs or whatever the things are called, whatever it is. We're getting them all over about this whole – again, it brings out the best and the worst of people when you talk about scandals and politics. I love it. I told you I love it. I really, really want to see what happens on – I want to see what happens on Saturday or Sunday for that matter, what happens when the vote is finally out on Saturday in South Carolina, and whether or not women don't care, not don't care, because we've gotten used to it. I guess after the Clinton and Lewinsky scandal, maybe our mindset has completely changed. But anyway, we'll move on. I got a bigger problem today because, as I said before, you know, I love the woman. And she loves doing two. And she does two things that I really really love. She likes to cook. And she likes to cook for her man, and that's what I love about her. And her name is Miss Paula Deen. You know Paula Deen. Come on, y'all know who she is. That woman, she'll bake anything. She'll dip it in some oil and fry it up right. Drink butter, slather Crisco on herself, whatever. This woman's into cooking. And she cooks some of the best food, if it's comfort food. I feel better just watching her cook. I haven't made one of her recipes, but I'll watch her cook. And I think that's weird, watching people cook and eat. Food Channel, I'll never figure it out. But Paula Deen has made some foods that, I mean, come on. That make your heart just race looking at it. I understand it's probably got high cholesterol. I understand it'll probably choke your arteries. I understand you probably won't survive from eating one of her butt cakes or her grilled butter or, you know, I'd put a cheesecake in a frying pan one day. Doesn't matter. She'll put anything in a deep fryer. I love it because she cooks to cook. And that's what the joy of cooking is. That's what eating is all about. Eating is about enjoying it. You don't eat, you know, to wash away the pain. I know some people do, but that's not what it's for. Food is to enjoy. And that's what Paula Deen does. She brings joy into your life. But now my favorite older woman, my future baby mama, she's got scandal. She was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and now she's joined some pharmaceutical company to talk about type 2 diabetes, and people with diabetes are outraged, saying, look at that woman. Showing us how to eat that old unhealthy food. She's a hypocrite. And I say, how dare you? I say, how dare you attack this woman? I don't care if she's got type 2 diabetes. It's got nothing to do with anything. What she does is cook food. That's what she knows how to cook. You watch her show because you want to know how to cook those things. Then please your husband. Please your girlfriend. Whatever it is that's going on in your personal life. The point is for you to enjoy food. She's got type 2 diabetes. She's got to deal with that. That's her own personal struggle. And she wants to join this pharmaceutical company to help people talk about type 2 diabetes and help them try to, you know, cure their disease or manage disease, because there's no cure, but to manage their disease, damn right. But now what's she supposed to start doing? Huh? We supposed to start broiling asparagus? Is that what you're going to watch on television? Is that what you're going to watch? Why are they going after this woman? You've got diabetes. Paula Deen didn't give you diabetes. She's not responsible for diabetes. You getting it? You having it? You got nothing to do with it. Why would anybody think that she was responsible? And nobody told Paula Deen to eat the food that she cooks. She's responsible. She can eat everything she cooks. I don't care. I hope she's enjoying it. She got type 2 diabetes because she wasn't living healthy. All right. And what? What's the big to-do? Somebody think that she's got some moral responsibility? See how I tied that in? Who's she got a responsibility to? Turn the television off. Fatty foods being cooked on Paula Deen's show? Turn the channel. You can always take your butt down and watch Rachel Ray with her 30 minutes or less meals. 5-minute beef, 2-minute baked ahi. Oh, that's right. Rachel Ray doesn't bake. Everything's on the stove. That's what happens when you put these people on such high ground. She's just a cook. JC, I know you're feeling where I'm coming from on this one, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's being talked about?
Without question, listen.
We got any big girls out there? We got any big girls out there? Where the big girls at? 347-308-8701. I want the big girls on here. Come down here and support Paula D.
Get off of instant message and call in.
Yeah, there you go. Call off here. Get off instant message and call in. You a big girl, you like to eat big food? Call in.
Newsflash. Hold on, newsflash. Not that you speak of that, and really not far off the subject, but I got a teaching gig coming up in 2 weeks and for a club here in Hartford, Connecticut. Big girl night, $100 prize to the biggest girl.
There you go. Big girls need love, too.
Tons of fun. Drop it like it's hot. Lower it like it's lukewarm.
I don't want 2 tons. That's going crazy. But there are some big, shapely women out there. I'm just saying that Paula Deen is getting she's it's wrong.
Being treated unfairly.
Scrutinized.
Yeah.
Being completely
Absolutely.
Treated unfairly. What she does, the show, whatever it is. I mean, I watched the Barefoot Contessa. Have you ever seen that show? Has anybody ever seen that show?
And you know, she used to be a hottie that used to work for the White House.
Okay, that's right. That's right. And who did she work for? Was that Herbert Walker Bush she worked for, or was it Clinton?
It was Clinton she worked for.
So the Barefoot Contessa. Now, I saw a couple of weeks ago. I've never seen her show, okay? But she was going to one of her girlfriend's house, and they were having a party, and I guess the girlfriend was the Tartar in one episode. There were two separate scenes. Her girlfriend was making up the house to look, you know, setting up for the party, and a Barefoot Contessa was at home cooking the food and showing you how to make this meal that she was taking over there. It was like crab cakes and all types of other stuff. Now I'm looking at the Barefoot Contessa. I look at this guy. What's the Italian guy with the big beard, real blonde guy?
Malta Mario?
Mario Bagali. Mario Bagali. That's who he is. Now I'm looking at all these. I used to look at who's that guy? Paul Prudhoe. You know, I look at a lot of these chefs. They're all big. They're all heavy set. I'm trying to figure out what the deal is. Now all of a sudden, because Paula Deen's got type 2 diabetes, her teaching you how to make fatty food, all of a sudden she's a bad person now. I don't get it.
Let me jump in here real quick. CBS News this morning. And that loud mouth, that Trump mouth heathen, Gayle King, credited Paula Deen with the Luther Vandross burger. That was Luther's burger, where they would take a burger with bacon and cheddar and serve it between two donuts.
What?
They gave Paula Deen that credit this morning. Her and Suzanne Somers. No. That was Luther Vandross's creation.
Did you say somebody was eating 2 donuts with a bacon cheeseburger in between it?
What?
In between them.
That's a heart attack waiting to happen.
She credited her with the Luther Vandross burger.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
With the Luther Vandross burger. And your mic is, you got to move your mic around there, buddy.
That is absolutely crazy, JC.
Yeah, and they're picking on this poor woman. And I mean, no, we don't even have smell-o-vision yet. She didn't take her, her fork lifted up to the TV, reach out of the TV, open your gullet and shove that bread pudding down there with all that rich, buttery caramel sauce.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that, now people want to start criticizing her. And I don't know, you know, what people are criticizing her. I haven't read the story. But now people, they're criticizing her. Yet when she was out there, she was somewhat of like a spokesperson for
women that were heavy and liked to eat these unhealthy butter-filled foods. So now what? She has type 2 diabetes and she wants to do something about trying to get herself healthy and trying to educate people on that, so now she's the bad guy?
No. She's a bad guy because she's had it for 3 years and didn't say anything about it. And continued to fry butter. I mean, she did fry butter on her show. But still, I mean,
how many people have type 2 diabetes or have type 1 diabetes and don't eat healthy? I mean, what are we, policing her health?
Listen, they're always at the buffets. You can find them at the Golden Corrals, looking at their watches, talking about, ooh, I got sugars. I got to eat.
And I need to take my medicine.
Yeah, I got sugars. I got to eat. Hell, my son, I tell you, true story, because my aunt had diabetes. My son, when he was about 2 years old, he heard that term so much, I got sugars. That my daughter was tinkering around with him on the floor, and he didn't want to be bothered with her, and said she still wanted to get on his nerves. And my son, I remember my son swiping at my daughter with this huge smack. He missed her, but she jumped back and looked at him like, you know, Jay, what'd you do that for? You know what I mean? And he said, "Leave me alone. I got sugars."
Oh my goodness!
He was only 2 years old.
People in the South say that, don't they? That's something that Paula Deen would probably say. I got the sugar, baby.
No. Let me let Trish jump in here. Maybe Trish got a comment on this one. Hey, Trish.
Okay.
You got a problem with Paula Deen?
Nope. I love Paula Deen.
I told you from day one, Trish, the first time you called on the show, that you're a woman after my guy. I asked you the big biscuits. Remember that?
I've got Paula Deen cookware in my kitchen. I love Paula Deen.
That's what's up. I mean, and you got these other celebrity chefs like Anthony Bourdain, who's he's come out really hard against the call of the most dangerous woman in America. Are you kidding? Do you see this guy's show? And probably not because the ratings are always in the tank. But I've watched this guy's show, and Anthony Bourdain, his show is what he does is he travels to different countries, eating. What's up?
I've seen the show.
Yeah, and he's traveling to different countries. He's sitting eating with the
locals.
He'll sit and eat with the people from various countries, and you know, basically, he's eating anything that they're serving him. He has no idea what it is that he's eating. He hasn't a clue as to what he's eating. But he was one of the very first people to come out and call Paula Deen. In fact, like I said, they quoted him in the news as saying that she was the most dangerous person in America.
That she was the most dangerous person in America? I mean, come on. I can think of some other dangerous people in America. I mean, if she likes to fry butter and she wants to cook and people want to listen to her and cook the same foods that she does, hey, that's on you. You know that it ain't. You know that eating like that is not good for you. You can't place that blame on yourself.
And I have a confession.
That's the way this woman makes her living.
Right. I mean,
off of your stupidity, then shame on you.
I don't see anybody knocking down the door over at Snickers, at Hershey's, M&M Mars. What's that?
Have you tried one of her recipes?
Absolutely. I that's the way I fry my chicken from now on, is the way
oh
she fry
God.
Hers. And she doesn't give that recipe out too often because it's a trade secret for her restaurant down in the Lady of Sons down in Savannah, Georgia. So it's not a recipe that she gives out too often, but when she does, if you're able to catch it, it's one of the absolute best I've ever used.
My thing is, eat what you know what you can eat and what you can't eat. Don't blame her because she fries food. She is not responsible for your health.
And she cooks a lot of healthy foods as well.
But people are saying she should have some moral high ground because she's on national TV telling people how to cook all of this stuff, that she should be responsible. But then that's, once again, our lazy society.
Why, you don't know how to use your own remote?
our lazy society that doesn't want to take responsibility for their own actions. They want to place the blame on everybody else.
If you don't want to cook or watch what she has, turn the channel.
Yeah, turn the channel.
Turn the channel.
Risa, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't agree with you that it'll turn down to Rachel Ray. That's another one of mine as well. I love her, too. She cooks healthy.
I love Rachel Ray. I love her because she's, you know, she got a little bit of weight on her, but I love her because she's a little pudgy. She got that little nose that turns up. I always find that attractive.
Oh, okay.
She's just cute. I don't look.
But you guys watch these shows for other purposes. It's not about, well, JC, I don't know about you, but Reese, you watch the shows to see the beauty of the women. You're not watching them because of what they're cooking.
Here's the thing you don't understand. The reason why I watch these shows, it's a very, very clear reason why I watch these shows. The first reason is because I'm watching women cook. And you don't see that everywhere. Okay? Women ain't cooking like they used to. And if I can watch TV where women are actually in the kitchen, I'm there. That's why I'm watching.
So you can live vicariously through the TV?
Yeah, I can pretend that this beautiful woman is cooking for me.
And that happens when you don't have one that don't cook at home.
That's right.
Well, if you don't have one that cooks at home, then get one. And if your current one ain't that one, then let her go. If that's what
you're Let me tell you something. My son said, and I'm trying to think of what age it was. He was about maybe 6 or 7 years old. Not even 6 or 7. I'm going to give him about 4 or 5. And he said about this age, about 4 or 5. He said, Mommy cooks good in the toaster oven, and in the microwave.
Are you serious?
And Daddy cooks good on top of the stove, in the stove, and on the grill.
Well, see, I believe grilling is for men. Cooking is for women. Now, I know I'm going to get hell for that.
I disagree with you on that one.
I agree with you. I think a man should be. Now, I stand up to some old values. Don't get me wrong. I believe that a man should be on the grill because I don't want to be on the grill personally.
I'm surprised.
I love grill food, but I don't want to be standing over no hot grill making anything. If that's where you think you should be, baby, you do it because I don't want to be doing it.
I see y'all there with a barbecue sauce
like,
bucket and a mop slathering wood.
I don't like finding a whole bunch of grease. I don't like using any kind of grease to fry in because I don't like grease splatter. I don't like cleaning it up. It's a pain. It gets all over everything. It makes the whole house smell.
You got a drive-thru to go to.
But see, look, the one thing that I don't like about this whole thing with Paula Deen is that, look, we've seen other chefs in the business make food like there's that woman who's got the real enormous head. She's real skinny. Her name is Jada De Laurentiis.
Jada
De Laurentiis. You guys familiar with her? All right.
She's gorgeous too. The everyday Italian.
She is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. She's got a very very abnormally sized head, but she is beautiful. She's the type of woman who makes very very health conscious foods. That's all she talks about, is how to make your food healthier. You know, but, you know, that guy Mario that we talked about, you know, he's cooking Italian food, you know, which is heavy in starch, you know. And starch is a, you know, like, what do you call it, pasta. Has a lot of sugar in it, okay?
Translating the sugar in your body.
Exactly. It's very, very, there's a lot of sugar inside of those noodles and that, you know, that noodle dish. It's not good for diabetics, but yet he prepares it, you know, but no one says a thing. We're just talking about cooking here. It's cooking. But everyone is on this whole crap about eating healthy that now we can't even be decadent when we want to.
How can everybody be on this whole healthy cooking and be running rampant all over people when we have the highest obesity rate. That's what. So who is on this healthy cooking kick? There's a lot of people that are not.
Well, that's the point. They're saying that because one, I think the report came out by the CDC that said there's one in every three adults were obese. I don't believe that. That's bogus.
I think that it's one in every four, and they actually said that that men have become more obese in the last, like, 12 years or something like
that.
What's
the criteria of being obese? What's the criteria? Now here's something that I learned in the Almanac. If you actually pick up the Almanac or look for this online, what they say is that if you were to measure when how you're overweight, this is how you should do it. You measure your waist, right? So the inches you have around your waist. So I'm a 36. So double the amount of your waist size. So 36 times 2 brings me to 72, right? Okay. How tall am I? I'm 72 inches. So based on if you double your waist, and that should be how tall you are, and if you are within that margin, then you are the right weight for your height. You understand my meaning?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So me being 36 around the waist, that would be 72 inches. I'm 72 inches, so I'm the correct weight for my height. So that's supposed to be the criteria that most people are supposed to go by. I notice they hush over the room.
But when
I'm thinking
you,
somebody
okay,
lied to Chloe.
According to medical doctors, I know that morbidly obese is like 100 pounds over what your weight should be when you're talking about in weight, okay? And I think that it's like anything over maybe 40 pounds or something over what your weight should be is considered obese. Or it goes by your BMI. If your BMI is a certain...
Yes. Right, your body mass index, exactly.
If your BMI is over a certain percent, then...
Anything over 40.
There's obese, and then there's morbidly obese.
Yeah, but what's the criteria that the CDC is making to suggest that one in four or one in three people are overweight? What's the criteria?
They have to be using BMI and body weight. I mean, that's because that's what most medical doctors use. So I would assume that that's what they're using.
Well, I don't see the criteria, and until I see the criteria, I'm not suggesting that anybody, for that matter, I'm not going to believe the report.
No,
I think the report is skewed.
I'm 5'4", for instance. I should be anywhere between, like, 120 and 135 pounds. Well, if you've ever seen me at 120 pounds, which you probably never have and never will, I look like I've got a virus or I've been smoking way too much crack.
There's no such thing as way too much crack.
No.
There's a such thing as no crack. It's any amount of crack is way too much.
Yeah.
Come on now. A social crack smoker is okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
You run into way too much crack at a plumber's convention.
Oh, my gosh. So
I am having the worst issue right now. But nonetheless.
Well, it
okay.
is therapy Thursday.
JC, if you can, do me a favor. Let's go to break. Let's play commercial break one, and let's go to a break. When we come back, I got to tease Therapy Thursday. When we come back, I'll tell you there was something strange that happened today when I was going out. I went out to go look for a job today, and I went someplace, and something very, very strange happened to me. So when we come back, I'll tease a little bit, and we'll get into it in the 9 o'clock hour. But we got some more stuff to talk about. There's a new film talking about, it's not going in theaters, but apparently it's going to be at the Brooklyn Museum. But a lot of people are talking about it. And it's supposed to be the perspective of talking to like 65 black men from all walks of life, and talking about the experience of the black man in America when we come back. We'll take a break now when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're back.
It's Reese on the Radio at blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Thank you guys for checking in for all of your calls today. It's been a we've had a lot of fun today. There's a lot of things that we need to get into. We will get into them soon in the next top of the hour. Of course, you know it's Therapy Thursday. I've always got something to say. I've always got something personal going on in my life that I like to talk about. And today is incredibly interesting for a host of reasons because the job market's a crazy place. And nowadays, you have to do things differently. And I believe in order to do them, sometimes you just have to rush in. You have to go in, meet these people firsthand, forget about that calling up, trying to get an interview. I say just go out to the place, find out whether or not there are any employment opportunities. You never know. Some people advertise weirdly. You know, some people, they don't put advertising out because they don't want anybody. So, you know, you have to go out there and you have to try. So that's what I did today. Did a lot of what I call cold calls, so to speak. You know, to get out there and, you know, let your feet hit the ground. Hit the ground running. And there were a couple of interesting places that I went today, a couple of places. I didn't care where they were. I did everything from retail to, you know, to warehousing. It didn't matter. I stopped in and I talked, and they were all nice to me. They were all nice. And they were all, you know, gave information, said when it was they would be hiring. You know, it's a little slow right now, but, you know, they, you know, we're not going to, you know, then it's not a good time. Check us in February. Check us in March. Some people even so far to say, you know, after spring break, you know, it's kind of a slow season. Fine. Understood. So I just did what it is that, you know, I do. Keep moving on. I can deal with rejection. There's nothing wrong with a no. You know, you're not always going to get a yes. You have to keep getting no's until you can find the yes. But today something strange happened. And this is one of those things, if I could for a little bit, just allow me to let me just tell you. There are several things that I hate about the job market. Not so much, well, I shouldn't say the job market, about working for a particular job or a company. The one thing that always ticks me off is when someone says that you take your job personally. I never, ever like it when, and no one ever, ever says that who's sort of like in management or your supervisor. Anybody in upper management will never, ever tell an employee you take your job too seriously. It's usually some knucklehead who's either just ranked above you or maybe he's worked there a little longer than you, who's become complacent. It's those knuckleheads who always say, you know, man, you take this job too seriously. Those are the people who are just there to get a check. And you know who those people are. They don't care about their job. They're just there to get a check. They do what it is that they're supposed to do. They don't go the extra mile. They don't do anything. They don't come in on weekends. They don't stay overtime, you know, do overtime unless it's beneficial to them. They need some extra bucks, maybe for the holidays, or because they got a trip coming up. They're those people. And when anybody ever tells me, you take this job too seriously, I always respond back to them, well, my job is my livelihood. I come in to work to take care of myself, to pay my bills, to feed my family. And that's a serious thing to me. So I take my job seriously because there are things in my life that I must have, and I take those things seriously. I have to provide. So I take it seriously. This isn't a joke. This is a job. And no, you don't have to be curing cancer. You don't have to be, you know, putting in hearts, making, you know, transplants or transfusions. Any job you have is important and relevant, no matter what it is that you're doing. You have to take it seriously. So I always hate when there are knuckleheads out there and say, you take your job too seriously. I also hate the term aggressive. Now, aggressive can mean a host of things. You know, maybe you don't speak well to others. Maybe when you're chastising a certain member of the crew, you might be a little harsh. Or you tackle problems with an aggressiveness. And when anybody, and the only people who ever tell you this are your supervisors. Now, supervisors tell you this because they're looking for a reason not to give you a raise, not to promote you. And when they can't find anything, when you do the extra stuff, you go the extra mile, when they're trying to turn you away, when they need you not to get that promotion or get that raise, they use the word aggressive. Well, sometimes you could be very aggressive, Mr. Hopkins. And, you know, that doesn't always go well. You know, that's when you know you're being shunned. Because you take what it is that you do seriously, and you do it aggressively. Because if the business grows, you should be able to grow. Hey, we signed 9 clients yesterday, and I was responsible for that, and I aggressively got those clients. And they came in, and they said, please tell me that. I'm growing the company so that I can grow my income. So I can be a part of something. I can become the senior vice president, the operations manager. I could be, you know, head mop boy, lead window washer. I could be captain of gum scraping. Whatever. Point of the matter is that I'm aggressive because, yo, look, nobody goes into a job just to get their base pay for the rest of their life. Well, there are some that do. There's some that don't care. But I will never ever stand for that kind of scrutiny or that kind of criticism. But that being said, there is one thing that I do when I go to a job interview. The one thing that I do is that no matter what the job is, always look your best. And always try to present yourself with the proper decorum. Approach that job like you are going in to be the CEO of the company, even if you're only going there to stock cans and bottles. And that is the way that I look at work. That is my work ethic. Some people have it, some people don't. I believe it was Martin Luther King Jr. says, no matter what it is that you do, be your best at it. If you're scrubbing floors, if you're scooping up manure, be the best that you can be. So we'll take a break. We'll do the top of the hour. And for Therapy Thursday, I'm going to tell you the strangest story you've ever heard. And why I was turned away from a job. I walked in, asked whether or not there was any employment opportunities, and one of the employees who had been there for 17 years turned me away. And when you hear why, you are going to be shocked. I'm telling you, you are going to be shocked. Just go into the top of the hour, JC. We'll go right into Angry Prophet when we come back. I'll tell you the story. Stick around. Tell your friends. If you are listening right now, my voice, tell everybody you know. You've got to hear this story. You will be baffled. You will be stunned. The number is 347-308-8701. We'll go to the top of the hour. When we come back. Reese on the radio, Therapy Thursdays, the most shocking turndown you've ever heard in your life. It's Reese on the Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it.
Many other little man is creeping for the snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Mercy.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
The number is 347-308-8701. And as I always do on Therapy Thursday, I always like to make these things very, very interesting. And for those of you who don't know what Therapy Thursday is that I got sick and tired of people who did radio who would ask people to call in and tell them their problems. And then the host would pretend to be the omnipotent one and would tell them how to deal with those problems. Oh, Mary, I think you should do this. And, you know, JC, I think you should do this. And, oh, your boyfriend did this. Well, you should try this and blah, blah, blah. Oh, your marriage is blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying, like, what makes these people qualified? So what? They got a psychiatrist degree. That means nothing. But whatever the case is that I don't want to hear a bunch of people's problems. As a radio host, I've got my own. And there's one thing that I know. Is that you've got opinions. That's the one reason why people call into talk shows. That's the reason why people do talk shows, because people have opinions. And I want yours. So I figured it's my problem. You deal with it. So that's why we created Therapy Thursday. It's my problem. So you get to deal with it. So as I said in the last break, I went out, pound the pavement for a job. It's a tough economy. You know, and I had a job for a little while. That was, you know, it was kind of a, you know, that's another situation. I can't even talk about it. Legal reasons. I can't even talk about that job. But what it was that I was going through, you know, whatever, and I'm out, you know, I'm pounding the pavement. It's a rough economy. I'll do anything. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll do anything. And as I also said, you go out there and you look your best when you go out there looking for a job. Now, JC, if you can, send a quick tweet from the show page, if you can. Just let everybody know, I'm about to tell the scariest story about why I was turned away from a job. But, you know, send it from the page. I think you can send it to Facebook, Twitter, and to Blog Talk Radio. Just send something that sort of says, like, you know, Reese is about, you know, it's Therapy Thursday, you know, something along those lines. So you can figure it out. But so here's what's happening. I went to one place. I went to a retail place here in Queens. I went down there. They were very receptive. Absolutely. You know, listen, you have to fill out an application. You have to download it online, which, by the way, I was very stunned to find out because I haven't been around a while. Everything is online. You fill out all the applications online. You can't go down and fill out an application anymore. Everything they have is online. They don't keep applications inside the stores anymore. That I found baffling. I even heard they do that at McDonald's now. Like you can't even go into McDonald's and fill out an application. You got to go online. And, you know, okay, fine, I understand it. The technological age, that's fine. So I get into this one particular store. And I walk in, and the people who are there, you can't really decipher or discern who is the manager. So I looked at what I deemed the most senior person there, someone who looked important, someone who looked relevant. And I went to them to ask them if I could speak to the manager. And the gentleman was very nice. And to give you, so I can paint a picture for you, he was wearing sort of a knit shirt sweater kind of thing, four buttons in front. He was wearing a pair of jeans, but he was dressed nice. Older gentleman, wasn't dressed sloppily or anything. And he was helping out some customers, and, you know, whatever it was, it's fine. So I'm standing there, and I'm wearing a black two-piece suit, sweater vest, black tie. I've got my black coat. This black coat that I have, I love, because it sort of looks like a trench, but it's three-quarter length, so you can wear it with a suit. It's very, very dapper, but I'm all in black and gray. You know, the hair is, you know, the little I have is slick back, you know, with conditioner. You know, I'm back at the Billy D thing on, but I don't have any facial hair, so, and I'm looking, you know, I'm When I walked down the street, everybody said, when I walk in my neighborhood, everybody says, oh, man, the president's in town. You know, okay, because I look pretty dapper. And as an older gentleman, I'll admit, I mean, I'm a good-looking, I'm a handsome guy when I dress up. I mean, I clean up nice. Every time everybody sees me, like, damn, Reese, you clean up nice. They all say I always look like an executive. That's the way I dress. So, again, I go to this gentleman, and I say, hi, can I speak to the manager, please? And he goes, is there a problem, sir? I said, oh, no, I apologize. I just wanted like to speak to a manager. I was wondering if there might be any employment opportunities. While I'm saying this, the gentleman is looking at me from head to toe. Now I'm wearing a pair of patent leather Cole Haan shoes, my suit as I described, shiny Cole Haan shoes. He's looking at me up and down while I'm speaking to him. He's not even looking at me in the eye. He's looking at me up and down. So I immediately thought, like, I mean, is there dirt on me? Did, you know, my suit look tacky or is it ashy looking? Like, I'm worried whether, like, I look like a bum. Like, do I not look presentable or whatever it was? He's looking at me up and down, and I finished my sentence. I was just wanting to speak to managers of hoping, you know, maybe I'd find out whether or not there was any employment opportunities here. And he says, no, not for you. I'm sorry? No, sir. You are dressed way too good to be in here. You don't want to work here. I'm trying to find work. I'm just dressed appropriately. No, you look like a respectable gentleman. You don't want to work here. I don't understand. Sir, listen to me. Listen to me, he says. You need to be working somewhere else. You do not need to be working here. I've got to turn you away. You don't want to work here. I'm telling you, don't even do it. I understand the times you don't want to work here. This is a horrible business for a man like you. This is not a business for you. You should just go. You got to find something else. A man like you cannot be here. You're too much of a gentleman. Look, the way that you dress, you look too presentable. Am I losing my freaking mind? I've never been turned down for dressing too nice to go into a job interview. I thought that was the whole point. I don't know how to feel. Like, was it a left-handed compliment? I don't know how to feel. No one's ever turned me down for looking presentable. I can see if I came in there looking like a schlub, and you go, well, you're not dressed for this interview. But I was literally sent away. Is that not the strangest thing you've ever heard? JC, Mary, anybody? Is that not the strangest thing you've ever heard?
Reese.
Yes.
I want you to go back there tomorrow with just like a button-down shirt and a pair of jeans and some decent shoes. Don't wear sneakers or just a pair of slacks, khakis, whatever, and present yourself to him again. Just for the sake of it. Well, you know what? Maybe he was doing you a favor. Obviously, he had some inside to that particular store or that particular company, and he was probably doing you a favor, but he was obviously judging your credentials based on the way that you were dressed.
I think for comedic purposes, you should walk in there in this cold weather with a wife beater and jeans and choke the hell out of your Chuck Taylors.
So, now, please, wait. This is not the strangest story you've ever heard?
No, actually, no. I've seen this before.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No, I've seen it before.
You've seen this before?
Yes.
Where?
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like this before.
The Yellow Cap Company, Bloomfield, Connecticut, 1996.
Did the same thing happen to you?
No. I was told not to hire somebody because of the way they were dressed. And they were dressed impeccably.
So, wait a minute, they were dressed impeccably and they were turned down?
And yeah, I was told to turn them down.
No.
Okay, this is the thing. They probably think that you're way too credentialed. This may be the thing. Maybe they think you're too credentialed for the job based on the way that you look, because everybody in this world, most people in this world look at people. If you're dressed very well, you're well-groomed and you're well-kept, then you must be of some importance.
Or you're going to expect too much from them.
Or exactly. So your expectations are going to go beyond what they are going to be able to give you. And you're probably
you
not going to stay lost. There's going to be no longevity there because they know they're not going to be able to meet your needs, and eventually you're going to have to move on.
Thus, you are what they call, sir, overqualified.
But how can you know? You've not even allowed me to meet with anybody. You haven't allowed me to talk to anyone. I mean, I've barely even said my name. I mean,
here's the problem. Here's the problem with your story. There's not enough known about it. I mean, we don't know what kind of business it was. I know,
To give you a perfect example, it was retail. It was retail.
Unless it was a bong and T-shirt shop, no, you should have been fine.
Yeah, but what kind of retail? Like, were you on Jamaica Avenue?
I was on a place very similar to Jamaica Avenue, yes.
Okay, so what kind of retail shop? Was it like a privately owned retail shop? Was it a
It was a popular retail company. It was a popular retail company. Many people are familiar with it. I'm not trying to put them on blast. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to create any issue with, you know, with them, because I don't take what they did in an offensive way. I was just stunned.
Well, let me tell you, when I was told to turn that individual away, without even really looking at the application, my boss taps me on the shoulder. I'm going to go sit in the office and talk. This guy's too overqualified. So we want all kind of money. No. No. We're good.
Yeah, but can you suggest that somebody is overqualified just because they dress nice? I could be a bum in a nice suit. I could be a guy who's never had a job I could have been a retail star, you know, who's worked for like Macy's or whatever. How do you know? He just looked at me. It was one of those things where I feel like someone prejudiced me based on my looks. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it was almost prejudicial.
That's exactly what happened. You were judged based on your appearance. And your appearance was obviously too much for those people to handle. Or maybe you said that, I mean, what did he have on?
He was dressed casual. He was dressed very casual. He was neat, but he was casual. You know, and a lot of people there, well, I'll admit, there were some people there who were not dressed very casual. I mean, there was this one woman who kind of gave she was a big woman. She had short hair braided, and she was wearing a big flannel shirt. It wasn't very appealing, you know, the
Queen
look
Latifah-ish.
On her. Kind of, pardon?
Queen Latifah-ish?
Very, very much so. Very, very Queen Latifah.
Okay,
wait. She was Queen Latifah a la the what's her name? Bank robbery movie they did?
Set It Off.
Yeah, Set It Off. Very, she was dressed like that. Now, that was just somebody who worked in the retail place. She was at the cashier of all places. But,
really?
Yeah, I know.
I'd put it there, but go ahead.
What kind of clothes do they sell?
I'm not going to tell you. You would figure it out. They do.
I've already figured it out based off of the fact that you told me that the cashier was Set It Off-ish, Queen Latifah with a flannel shirt and braids. I mean, you didn't even have to say anything else beyond that.
We're not trying to put it all the way out there.
I mean, you should have went to, like, Green Acres or something dressed in a suit. Maybe you would have, you know, for some big retail outfit.
Well,
you know, maybe
they
would have had somewhere for you.
I'll do that tomorrow, because I do think that's probably a better deal. But, again, I'm just stunned, because every other place that I went to, like the first retail place that I went to, they looked at me as soon as I asked the woman. And again, it set sort of like a thing in my mind. I'll tell you what happened at the first place. When I went to the counter and I asked someone, is the manager available? They told me the manager's name and they paged him. And then someone said that the manager was actually out on a break. So then the woman directs me. She goes, that woman there, she's a manager as well. So I walked over to her and she was dressed very appropriate. She was very, very business casual. Right, she had on a sweater, she had a shirt, she had on black slacks, a pair of black shoes, business casual. She looked like she could have been in an office. She could have worked in an office. But it was a retail outfit, and she was dressed like a manager. Now, I'm walking in the outfit. I told you, I was already wearing black suit, black vest, a gray tie, gray shirt, Cole Haan polished shoes, and I'm talking shiny, like military shine.
And you walked in
and I'm there.
Who died?
I got a scarf around my neck. I mean, literally, I'm looking Wall Street. I'll admit, I'm looking a little Wall Street. So when I walk over and I go to speak to the woman, I got my attaché case in my hand, which is just, you know, it's like a little bag. It's not really an attaché case.
My attaché
like
case. I love
shut
it.
Up. But anyway, so I go and they point me over to her direction, and I say, hi, hello. And I took off my glove to go shake her, and I said, ma'am, are you the manager? And she goes, yes, and she shook my hand. And she said, is there a problem, sir? And I said, oh, no, no. They were all treating me like I was there from the health department. You know? Like, you know.
Or from the corporate office.
Yeah, like I came in from the corporate office. And the first thing I said to her was, I said, oh, no, ma'am. And actually, she goes, you know, is there a problem? I said, oh, no, absolutely not. No, I just moved back into the area, and, you know, I was, you know, pretty much, you know, looking around to see if there was any employment opportunities at, you know, some of the places around here. And she goes, we don't have an application here, but you know what you do? Go online, download the application, fill it out, and bring it back to this gentleman here. She introduced me to the gentleman, and I introduced myself to him. I said, are you, you know, Travis was his name. And I said, Travis? And he goes, hey, nice to meet you. But everybody is staring at me.
Because they're looking at you like, why are you here looking for a job here when you obviously look like you need to have a job on Wall Street? And you talk like you need to have a job on Wall Street, not in a retail shop. You are overqualified.
But a job
what do you mean
is a
he
job.
Talks like he needs a job on Wall Street?
I understand a job is a job, but from a business standpoint, that for someone that is so business savvy, like you, I don't understand why you can't get a grasp on what the problem was. The problem was that you obviously were looking for something in the meantime. You were sitting in the basement looking for something in the meantime until something better comes along.
So you think I overdressed?
You felt like an Obama staffer.
No, Ayanna Van Zandt wrote a book called In the Meantime. It was a great book, and that's what she referred to as in the meantime, in the basement.
Did you just quote Ayanna Van Zandt?
I sure
why
did.
Not?
Oh, my goodness.
I love her.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people do. I find her very, very weird. Anyway, I think she does
she
a lot of
comedy. She is kind of weird. She is kind of weird. She's very eccentric, in my opinion, but she wrote a very good book, and it's called In the Meantime. But that's what type of job you were looking for. That's like if I was to go to McDonald's and try to get a job. I'm overqualified.
I don't see what's wrong with going to McDonald's.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to McDonald's, but I'm overqualified, and they know that they are not going to get any type of longevity from me, and people are looking for – most people do not want to have high turnover because high turnover – equals high labor costs because you're training. You got to take time to train people. You got to do paperwork. If they offer insurance, you got to do all that. And then by the time you get through all of that process and your 90 days is up and you can get that insurance and you're no longer on a probationary period, you're giving them 2 weeks' notice because you found something else, because Dapper Dawn doesn't need a job in a retail shop.
Well, places like that overhire any. They overhire anyway, so that no.
If you would have went in and said you were looking for something part time, like, oh, you know, well, I have a full time job during the day, but I'm looking.
And I did, Mary. I did. I did ask for something part time. I was very specific. She said, "Well, what are you looking for?" I said, "Well, I'm looking for something part time. If that's available, if there's full time, of course I'll be happy with that." But I said, you know, I'm generally looking for something part-time during the day, you know, and so she, you know, when she was happy to oblige me, like she at least said, look, go to the website, download the application, fill it out, please, you know, and return it to here, you know, tomorrow to Travis. And, you know, she introduced me, so she at least sounded like, sure, no problem. I mean, the fact that I would come in and give that presentation, that for her probably said, oh, look how appropriately dressed he is. He's a professional. I don't think she took it that way, but the other guy, I kind of felt discriminated against.
But when you walked away, she was probably like, what is this dude doing in here looking for a job? Why is this dude not looking for a job in somebody's corporate office or something? That's probably what she said. She's obviously had some HR training and knew better to say to you, excuse me, sir, but you're a little overdressed for a job in this joint.
Yeah, but that's discrimination.
Yes, it is discrimination. I agree with you it's discrimination, but it happens.
I'm more surprised that they didn't catch the voice.
What do you mean?
Your voice.
What do you mean, from radio?
Yeah.
No. It's been too long, and a lot of those
people.
Are you not, dude, you have one of the most distinctive voices. And I'm not saying that to be ass-kissy or anything like that, but...
Well, no, I understand where you're coming from. I understand.
Well, they were probably listening to the way that he was talking and everything else, and was like, "No, you're a little too distinguished for this joint."
Yeah, but again, I don't know. That's to me. That sounds, you know, a job is a job. So what? I almost feel like I really, really feel discriminated against. I feel like because I was dressed appropriately, because my mannerisms may have been proper. The only job that I should get, I mean, I'm looking for a job. If I'm struggling and looking for a job, is the way that I look would
but
be...
But this is the thing, and you said it yourself, you're struggling. So they know, once again, these people know that this is just a temporary thing. And a lot of places don't want to go through the hassle if they know straight off the bat that this is just a temporary thing. You knew that it would have been a temporary thing going in.
Sadly, I agree with her.
You aren't going to make a career out of it. You obviously had some kind of sense about you that you went in there dressed to the nine, and you were, you know, business-like. So you obviously have some type of business intelligence. So they knew that you were probably not going to stay. And again,
Mary, how could they know that, having not even spoken to me? Just because I speak proper, just because I'm dressed nice, that is a complete blanket statement based on my appearance. It's stereotyping.
But a lot of companies do that. That's just like if two women go into a job interview. One is fat, one is not. They both, you know, they both dress nice. They both come with the same credentials. The skinny chick is probably going to get the job because people want to, for a particular job, like a corporate job or something like that, people base you upon your appearance. That's how it is in the business world. You're not based solely on what your credentials are or what your needs are.
Yeah,
it's based
Mary,
on everything in a whole.
He was dismissed, though they didn't even know what his credentials are. But they assumed it. They assumed it.
They made an assumption. They made an assumption based off of his physical appearance or his fashion appearance.
But I did it myself.
Again, so it's discrimination.
I did it myself.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just telling you why they were probably discriminatory against you.
dude. I'd probably get locked up. I'd probably get locked up, sued, thrown on the bus, across the bus and under the bus for the amount of discrimination that I had to dish out when I was office manager hiring and firing at the company that I mentioned earlier.
It's just, for me personally, I think it's just wrong for them to do.
It is wrong. You're right. No, and we agree with you. It's wrong.
It's very wrong. I'm not dismissing your dispute. It is wrong. But I'm telling you why.
And it's disheartening.
It happened. It is. It's very disheartening when you are trying to get out there and do something with yourself, and you know you're trying to either get back on your feet or whatever your situation is. It is disheartening,
right.
And it happens every day to people. Believe it's not just you; it happens to everybody, for one reason or another. For one discriminatory reason or another.
Well, I was just baffled by it. It was just one of those things that I've never ever witnessed before, and you know. I mean, like, again, it was double-sided, because in one way I felt okay, because here was this gentleman obviously giving me a compliment. I mean, he was clearly saying to me, you know, sir, you know, this would probably be, you know, a step down for you. But he doesn't know my situation, so what is a step down? I had enough guts to walk into any job. It doesn't matter what the job is. The guy still came in to get a job because he needed a job. If you don't know what the economy is like, you got to know what the economy is like out there. So you got to go. Some people have fallen on hard times, and they'll take anything they can get. I just found it, like, it was discouraging me. Like, come on, I can't get a job on Wall Street. Wall Street's struggling too. So, you know, it's just,
Don't let it discourage you, and I can understand. Like, it was baffling to me at the fact that he just totally outright said what he said to you. I mean, he didn't beat around the bush. There was no, okay, it's a lot of application,
no.
But, you know,
yeah.
he was straight up.
You know, the part that really, really got me was as I was speaking to him, and you know that old saying, you know, look people in the eye, shake hands, give a firm handshake. I was doing all the things that I've been trained to do, but the entire time I'm talking to him, he can't stop looking me up and down. I literally thought that I had like three heads, a frog on my forehead. I don't know what it was, but I clearly could see he was like baffled looking at me, and I'm just going, you know, is everything all right? And he goes, no, sir. You don't want to work here. Like, what?
He probably did you a favor.
Or was it? No, sir. I don't think you want to work here.
Well, if he said that, I probably would have understood. Anyway, all
right.
Let's take a break.
Whoa! What do you mean? If he would have said it like that, you probably would have understood.
Well, if he had said you don't want to work here, you know, whatever it is. He was probably throwing some shade on the place. You know, he was probably saying that, look, it's not a great place to work. You know, he was telling, you know, tales out of school, as many people do. You know, letting people know that it's probably not the place you want to work.
Damn, we need to mind our business.
That is what he was saying to you in a roundabout way. That is exactly what he was saying to you. Like, no, sir.
Yeah, but
You're too dapper to be up in here. This is not your element.
Mary.
You're adding your element. What?
Mary.
What?
We can go to commercial.
What?
Okay.
We can go to commercial.
Oh, yeah, we're going to commercial. All right, we'll go to commercial. Welcome back.
I'm Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701. Right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word! That stupid, rotten son of a bitch! I can't believe this!
He's on his way home right now, and he's gonna need your support.
Support my ass! I'm gonna change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even gonna be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the Radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
And you missed part of it. We talked in the beginning about Newt Gingrich's wife, Mary Ann, and the report that's going to be on Brian Ross Investigates on Nightline tonight at 11:35 Eastern Standard Time, talking about how Newt Gingrich wanted an open marriage. And we had a long discussion about whether or not that will affect his chances to become the nominee for the Republican, whether or not he will win the Republican candidacy to run for president against Barack Obama. But we'll be watching that interview tonight. I'll be taking snippets of it so we can play it tomorrow on the show. And pretty much people will respond to, you know, how this interview went. We also talked about Paula Deen and the crap that she's going through, because now she has, you know, she's revealed that she has type 2 diabetes, and people with diabetes are saying that she was wrong for making or cooking all of that, you know, unhealthy food on her show while she's got type 2 diabetes, as if it's her fault that people have type 2 diabetes. You know, everybody needs to have a culprit. And, of course, we talked just recently about my weird run-in looking for a job. A gentleman turned me away because I was dressed too nice and said, without even talking to me, that I guess I was overqualified for the position, and pretty much turned me away and said, no, you don't want to work here. Please, I advise you to go. I haven't been watching American Idol for a while now, and I could tell you a list of reasons why, J-Lo, but I'm not going to get into that. But there are some reasons why I haven't watched it. It hasn't been a great lot of people since Carrie Underwood. I can honestly say that. It lost its fire after her. I don't think we've had a big star since her. By the way, when black singers win on American Idol, they fail miserably. I don't know if that's a race thing, but I think it has to do with the music that they do. I'll give you two examples, and I'll get into what it is that I'm talking about and why I brought up American Idol. But just try this on for size. One, her name was Fantasia Barrino. Why was she not successful after winning American Idol? One simple reason.
She was.
She's sick. No, she wasn't. Not comparatively.
Because of the sound of her annoying voice?
No. Here's why. Because she sings R&B. And R&B is a very separatist style of music. R&B is only for R&B fans. Pop music, on the other hand, gathers everyone. More people like pop. R&B goes to a strict audience. Ruben Studdard, R&B, goes to a strict audience. But Ruben's situation was different because you may notice Clay Aiken got more popular and had more pop hits than Ruben Studdard did. Even though Ruben Studdard won, Clay Aiken clearly had much more fame.
But what hurt
Ruben Studdard? His weight. Let me tell you why. No. Let me tell you why. It's not the obvious reason. Not that people didn't like heavyset guys singing. Look, we love Luther Vandross, we love Barry White, we love big guys singing, we love, Gerald LaVert. We love heavyset guys singing. They can blow. They can sing. They're very soulful. Ruben Studdard had that. But Ruben Studdard got into the game when guys like Usher, Mario, Trey Songz, Chris, whatever his name is, those were young, skinny dance arounds in the R&B game. Ruben Studdard was in an R&B field that was becoming very pop-oriented, dancing in Broadway, sort of like, Broadway stage style, doing all the great moves. Ruben Studdard couldn't do songs like that. Ruben Studdard couldn't do an Usher record. Ruben Studdard came out when Usher came out with Confessions, one of his biggest albums. And Mario came out with... What was that song? Not Just a Friend, but the next one that had all in 2005. It had all of those BDS going on. It was You Remind Me. No, that's not him. What's the name of that song? Mario had that song when he was in the room with the girl and he's dancing around. It's just him and the girl.
Written by Neo.
What's that?
It was written by Neo.
Yeah, it was written by Neo, but it was a big record.
Yeah.
By Mario. That was blowing up the charts. It was the most played song on radio. Ruben Studdard couldn't compete with those young people. And Fantasia was singing R&B. But look at the pop acts. If Clay Aiken could have more success than Ruben Studdard and he came in second, that means that you can market him better to a wider audience. So, that being said, let me get to why I brought up American Idol. Considering everybody who's won. Apparently, a woman by the name of Amy Brunfield, she's 24 years old. She lives in a tent. She lives in a tent out in the woods with her boyfriend. She has no place to stay. But apparently, she wowed the judges, Randy Jackson, J-Lo, Steven Tyler. She wowed them with her rendition of Superwoman by Alicia Keys. But it turns out that Amy Brunfield has a long criminal record. She's been arrested 6 times in the past 7 years with 3 arrests involving booze. What they're saying in this story, I love this one. She was arrested in Tennessee on April 22nd, 2010, after cops say that she was so drunk, she urinated on herself in the lobby of a Baskin-Robbins. Can you say 33 flavors?
Wow.
Anyway, just 9 days before that, on August 13th, day before my birthday, she was arrested in front of the old Smoky Candy Kitchen after cops say she displayed extreme intoxication and was trying to find someone to take her home. She was arrested twice in 2007, once for unlawful detainer, staying at a property after her lease had ended. Okay, that's nothing. The other arrest was for underage consumption of alcohol, in which she pled guilty and was sentenced to probation. Brunfeld was also arrested in 2005 on criminal trespass on private property. The details around that incident are unclear. thought the story should have a happy ending, judging her audition on Idol. Brumfield appeals to be motivated to start a whole new life for herself. Here is my question to my intrepid panel. Does Amy Brumfield deserve to be an American Idol in spite of having a criminal record? I mean, if she could sing, she could sing. I mean, these pop artists get arrested all the time. It's commonplace.
Yep.
So should it be a big deal that should it be a big deal that she's got a criminal record?
No.
Yeah, of course.
Ooh. Oh, we got dissenting
views. You said it should be a big deal, JC?
No, you said it should be a should she maybe I misunderstood the question. Repeat the question, please.
My question is, because she's got this criminal past, and it's just, you know, it's for intoxication. She's obviously got an alcohol problem. You know, it's criminal trespass in one case. It doesn't appear that she's done anything violent. She's got a couple of mug shots you can see on TMZ. She's not the most attractive girl in the world. She's, you know, she's average. But they're saying she can sing. Should she become an American Idol, do you think that we should overlook the fact that she had a criminal record?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so you both agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so a criminal past, it shouldn't bother you.
No.
Even with the term American Idol attached to it. This is your American Idol.
That term doesn't mean a lot anymore.
That term has fallen off a long time ago. The prestige of that title has fallen off a long time ago.
Oh, so it's not about being an American Idol. That means nothing.
No, it's about a record deal.
Exactly.
So you think that the American Idol moniker is overstated?
No, of course.
But see, I believe that, see, Simon Cowell was trying to get the purest of the pure. You know,
right.
Kelly Clarkson.
And then he was ostracized for it.
Well, look, Kelly Clarkson, any scandal? Maybe some boyfriend trouble. But
love
nothing.
Her.
What's that?
I love her.
Oh, okay. Well, I like her too. You know, I like her chubby.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, but I do.
She's nice.
She's a phenomenal singer. I actually saw her in person. I saw her live, and she, that pop music that she does, and that the stuff that's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Is nothing in comparison to what that girl can blow.
I know she can. I trust me. I know she can sing. I think she's got an amazing voice. I'm not a big fan of her music, but I think she's cute. She's got a certain appeal about her that I like. There's something about her that reminds me of Rachel Ray. I don't know. When I was a kid, I liked girls who looked like that.
Okay.
She does favor her.
Yeah. She's got that little Rachel Ray look. That's appealing to me. That's kind of a look that I like. But,
yeah, they could be from the same tribe.
Exactly. Now, that being said, now, Carrie Underwood, I love this woman. I love her. You know?
Yeah.
I'm crazy about that. Well, she, you know, she's a skinny blonde. She's got a nice little body on her. She's what I call an American Idol. She's, you know, and she's in
the country. She's a separatist.
Listen to the level of discrimination. She's a blonde girl. She's got a nice little body on her. She's an American Idol. Is that what America stands for? Is skinny little blonde? That's in country music?
You didn't get the memo,
no.
Mary?
No. Hello?
You didn't get the memo? Of course,
yeah, like,
that's what it is.
Okay, so should I be talking like this? Hello, McFly. I mean, where do you live?
It doesn't matter where I live.
No, I didn't get the memo. I was out sick the day they passed that memo out.
The bottom line is that's an attractive woman to me.
And you had your head in your locker too busy sucking your teeth and rolling her eyes there as she walked down those high school hallways.
I don't have anything against blondes or whatever, but I mean, come on now.
Well, you said it. Yeah, you do.
Redheads have more fun.
Yeah,
well,
that
said
sounds
it,
like.
Do.
That sounded like some hate, didn't it?
Well, yeah, hate.
Clearly hate.
I don't understand what the fascination is of blonde hair. What is it?
It's the way she says it. Blonde.
Yeah, that's what brunettes always say about blonde. They have to emphasize
First of all, I'm a mix between a brunette and a redhead, okay? My hair looks like fire when the sun hits it. Second of all, I do not aspire to look like, to be blonde. I'm not going to, I've dyed my hair once blonde and it looks so ridiculous. People told me I look like Chester Cheetah. So it's ridiculous.
Stay out of the kitchen, go to the salon, and stop letting your friends with their kitchen cosmetology degrees do your hair.
Yeah, what is that about?
And just because Pookie is my hairdresser, don't hate on her, okay?
See?
Uh-huh.
That's odd.
But the bottom line is, now, hold on. Now, have you seen this girl, by the way, JC? Have you seen her picture yet?
I'm looking her up now. I'm shocked and appalled.
Amy Brumfield. Now, you got to see the picture. You got to watch the video. She's got a tattoo on either side of her. Listen to me. When I tell you, I'm telling you. You know who this girl reminds me of? As soon as I saw her sing, as I was looking at her the whole time, one thing popped into my head about Amy Brumfield. This woman is Amy Winehouse 2.0.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay, well, with that being said, do you remember on American Idol, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but there was this Irish chick that had tattoos all over the place. But she could blow. She could play instruments. And she sang her butt off. She did not win American Idol, but I'm sure that she went on to get, you know, some type of record deal with somebody. But she could sing.
Did this girl play guitar and she had like a whole bunch of piercings and her hair braided?
Yes. She was a very attractive girl. She was a very attractive girl and she could sing her butt off.
Hmm.
So who cares what this Brumfield looks like? She's got tattoos. She's homeless. Whatever. Give the girl a second chance if she can sing and she's got talent. Give her a second chance at life.
Yeah, I think she should get a second chance. I'll tell you what I find funny. According to this report, they're saying that Adam Lambert, who sang that song, you know, was arrested for fighting his boyfriend in Finland. And I don't know who Chakizzy was. Anybody remember who Chakizzy was from America?
Yeah, black guy, football player looking kid. Yeah, go ahead.
He was a big football player looking kid?
Yeah.
Well, Chakizzy was arrested. Pardon me. Former idol Chakizzy, arrest warrant issued.
Yeah.
Yeah, it smells like more trouble for American Idol alum Chakizzy EZ because the judge has issued a bench warrant for the 25-year-old in connection to his cologne arrest. According to court records, Chakizzy was on probation for allegedly buying cologne with a phony credit card last year. Oh man! No way.
There was actually a girl. If you watch, if you've ever seen the show, I think it's Dr. Drew does the addiction show.
Sure.
The intervention.
Yes.
Something like that. There was a girl from American Idol that ended up like from. The first or second season that ended up becoming really severely addicted to drugs and had a major problem and was on that show. So I mean, American Idol is not free from being tainted whatsoever.
They just need to simplify that name and just call it Sing It. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't call it American Idol. Let's call it Record Deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should call it. Record Deal. That's what it is.
But there's no appeal to that name. Nobody, you know, nobody wants
there's
to watch
that. There's no
appeal
to American Idol anymore.
Was a marketing strategy. I love American Idol because I personally wish, I mean, for me, I wish that I would have been able to sing and had a voice because that's what I would have inspired to be. Whitney Houston was like my idol growing up as a kid.
Again, Mary.
What?
She drives me nuts with this. Everybody can sing.
Yes.
No, honey, everybody cannot.
Yes.
I cannot
Everybody
sing.
Can sing.
I cannot sing. I can blow, but you don't want to hear it blow. I'm tone deaf. You don't want to hear that.
Well, look, as sad as it may be, I agree with you. I don't think that at this particular point that, American Idol lives up to the name of being an American Idol. I think at this particular point it's just, it's a misnomer. Nobody cares. Nobody cares whether or not they are or are not American Idols, for that matter. Whether or not they have a certain, they have a certain quality about themselves, or they have to hold themselves in some high regard. They're very, very average people. They're just singers. And usually, I'll be honest with you, I kind of want my rock stars or whatever it is to kind of get into a little bit of trouble, to raise a little bit of hell. They're kind of anti-establishment people anyway.
Right.
That's the whole reason why you become a rock star, is because, screw the establishment, man. Down with the queen, man.
Look at Will Smith's rap career.
What's that?
Look at Will Smith's rap career. First rapper to win a Grammy.
What?
I said, look at Will Smith's rap career.
Well, he was kind of, come on. Will Smith was very cookie cutter, and you know why Hollywood had to. They knew that he could sell to a mainstream audience, and he does.
I don't
consider Will Smith like a rapper. I mean, he.
That man was the first one to win a Grammy.
Well,
he was.
That's
you're
great.
Absolutely right.
He didn't have a criminal record. There's no dirt or filth on him. And he rapped that Bill Cosby Goody Two Shoe crap, for lack of a better term. And
no one else would have been able to get away with that. That is something that only Will Smith could have done.
Well,
not necessarily,
Mary. I don't agree with that. I believe that Will Smith did his music at a time where there was such a diversity in hip hop. He came out when there were Public Enemies, LL Cool J's, Run DMC's. There was a different kind. Public Enemy was a very angry, in-your-face rap. Run DMC, very, very, very around-the-block hip-hop.
I remember they
toured
together.
Yeah, exactly. Fresh Fest, LL Cool J, which Rick Rubin described as street rock, because he had a lot of rock and heavy, heavy rock beats to it. So there was such a diversity in rap that you could, Big Daddy Kane was very smooth and laid back, It's like, there was happy rap and fun rap, and Will Smith brought, comedic rap, because everything he did was funny. So, he was sort of like a Weird Al Yankovic.
It wasn't even funny. If you want a comedic rap, you look to She Got the Vapors. What's his name?
No. See, She Got the Vapors. She Got the Vapors a very, very urban appeal. He was talking about, what Will Smith had was a very, very self-deprecating humor. Parents just don't understand it's not about him being the greatest in the world. It's talking about him playing like he is or pretending to be the greatest in the world, but his mother was, making fun of him. Even when he makes that, the beginning of the song, we talked
first
about
print.
How he wanted to wear some of the best clothes in school, but his mother took him down for high waters, and plaid shirts, and he looked like a clown. So he was somebody that we could laugh at and we could enjoy. It was a fun-loving time for hip-hop, and he came out at the right time.
That's why I agree with you, and that's why I said Will Smith would have been the only person that would be I have ever been able to do that, because he did come out at a time like that. So
yeah,
I agree with you.
And Biz Markie, to this day, I still agree, and you're right, JC. He was the clown prince of hip hop. There's no lie, no denying that.
I'm talking about as far as me and liking my stars with a little. Dirt and grunge and little bad boy to them, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? A little bad boy to a police record. You know, drug, sex, and rock and roll. You know what I mean? And Will Smith was none of that. Right, dude, dig that damn Summertime. That's a classic.
Yeah, Summertime was a classic.
I have it on my iPod. That was a classic.
Yeah, you started playing that in April when you wanted to get warm outside.
Exactly.
I'll never forget when that song came out. I'll never forget where I was when I first heard it. I thought it was the most amazing thing. I thought it was the greatest loop. I thought it was good. DJ Jazzy Jeff produced that record perfectly, and he will always be one of my greatest producers, along with guys like Pete Rock and DJ Premier and Large Professor, even Q-Tip for that matter, who, by the way, I must say this. When this movie comes out, I can't wait to buy it. Beats Rhymes in Life, the Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, is a documentary that came out this summer. I went to go see it at a midnight showing, and the place was still pretty, you know, it had a lot of people in it watching it at midnight. Probably one of the best documentaries, because it's never been done. I haven't seen a great documentary on hip-hop in the theaters. There have been plenty that have come out on rock stars and pop stars. But for a documentary about a group that I love, Beats Rhymes in Life, the Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, directed by Michael Rapaport. If it comes out, you have to see it. You have to see it. If you like this group, there are things you're going to find out that you never knew.
Real quick. A girlfriend and myself and a couple of girlfriends actually met Q-Tip at the train station on Sutton Boulevard prior to him becoming anybody, and kind of like dissed him. He wanted us to come back and party with him because his brother had like just gotten out of jail or whatever, so they were having a big party in Brooklyn. And he was like, you know, I'm going to be in this rap video, blah, blah, blah. We were like, yeah, whatever, you ain't nobody. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, he was like on that music channel used to change like to MHZ or whatever.
Oh, you're talking about Ralph McDaniels, Video Music Box.
Yeah, Video Music Box. And my girlfriend was calling me and was like, girls, look at him in the video. So we had a chance to get close to him, but did not.